Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am here at the International Quilt Festival Spring Market 2013 in Portland, Oregon. And I'm having such fun finding designers to talk to, a little bit about what they're doing, what's current. And right now I have Kari Meng of the French General. And she has fabric lines with Moda, plus a whole lot of other things that Kari does. Welcome to the show, Kari.
Thank you, Pat.
It's exciting. You were up there putting your booth together. It looks so great.
Putting the inspiration board
all together. Yes. Oh, yeah. Fabulous. I have to get a picture of the inspiration board. Tell me a little bit. You have a love of fiber because you collect antique fabrics.
Right.
Is that how you sort of started your business, the French General?
You know, I was always interested in notions, beads and buttons and ribbon and millinery. And through that path, I just kind of landed on the textiles and the fiber at the flea markets and in the warehouses and in the basements. So I started collecting fabric that I loved, and it just happened to be 18th and 19th century French fabric, predominantly in the reds.
Oh, predominantly,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And that's what I just was drawn to always.
Did you start selling it right away?
I did. I started using it. We were decorating homes when we moved to Los Angeles, and I started using it in interiors. But what I found was that it was running out, and I was using it up in all these great old big old homes. So my goal was to start hoarding it and saving it so that eventually someday I could do a line of fabric.
Oh, how smart. So you have this whole treasure trove of inspiration.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about that design process for you, because everybody is so different how they approach it.
So I usually start with, you know, a scrap of fabric. So it's probably something that I found at a flea market in the south of France last summer. And through that one little piece, I kind of start a theme.
Okay.
And I think, well, you know, for example, for the line that's coming out in the fall, the Josephine collection, I found a piece of fabric that I thought looked like something that could have been in her home, Malmaison, outside of Paris.
Ah.
So that theme kind of then started me down this path of, well, what else would Josephine have had in her home? And she was such a big lover of her garden and exotic flowers and birds that I tried to incorporate then 18th and 19th century prints that I found in the south of France into the collection. And most of the prints that we offer through Moda are inspired by antique prints. We may change the size, we may take out a butterfly or add a butterfly here or there, and we completely recolor it so it fits in with more contemporary homes. But everything starts with a document fabric.
Yeah. And do you do you store your personal document fabrics in a certain way?
You know, I wish I could say that I did. Yeah, it's just stacks and stacks. I use, I go down to my atelier, also known as my garage, about once a day, and I look through my fabric, and, you know, right now they're all color-coded. So I've got all my reds piled, and I've got all my whites. And then within that, I separate out the fiber, and I do my cottons together, and I do my linens together, so that if I want to pull a white linen for some collection, I've got that. So it's somewhat organized, but I'm constantly pulling for inspiration and then reorganizing.
So,
always.
And do you still focus more on red and creams? And
I do love the red. There's just something to me that it easily fits into any room. I mean, if you have a neutral room, you need a spot of red. If you have a red room, you still need a little bit of red. So the red, the neutral, the blues. I love the mustards and the chocolate browns.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of rounds out the palette. You know, we're going to add in for our next holiday line a couple shades of green. But I think that'll be the first time that we've really gone off our main palette.
And you design some patterns or accessories. You have other things that sort of go companion with the fabric.
Right. So we have written 5 different books on crafting and sewing and jewelry making, entertaining. We have a paper arts line with Jolie's Boutique for the scrapbooker or multimedia use. We have, or mixed media use. We also have a home decorating interior line, which includes fabric, wallpaper, and trim. And that's with Fabrica. So we kind of have our hands in a couple different areas, in the quilting, in the crafting, and in the home interior world.
And At one point, you had a physical store. Do you still have that?
We still do. Yeah, we still have a store in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. And we are a real retail store now. We're open Tuesday through Saturday from 12 to 5. And that's a big change because for the past 10 years, I've only been open one day a week.
Oh.
But my sister moved to town and said, let's get serious. So we are open Tuesday through Saturday now, and it's been great. And people come from all over the country, and they just pop in. And we offer a lot of creative workshops throughout the year. And then we kind of transition that and go over to France during the summer, and then we do the same thing in the south of France every summer.
But now let's talk about that trip, because that sounds like a trip that, I mean, I know you have a lot of quilters go on your trip to France. Is it primarily focused for quilters?
You know, it's for fiber lovers, textile and fiber lovers. So I don't say it's a quilting trip, although 1 week we do have American Quilt and Retailer that comes along with us, and that does attract a lot of quilt shop owners and quilters. But I say it's for everybody because we get into jewelry making, we get into, you know, the whole process of lavender and what to do with lavender, and then we get into fabric and we get into beeswax. And so we really have a wide range of crafts and activities. We go every June for the month of June.
For the whole month?
We go for the whole month. And guests come for 1 week each.
Oh, okay.
And we rent an 18th century chateau in the south of France. And we go out on a field trip every morning to either a brocante or a flea market or a farmer's market. We come home for lunch, and then we craft in the afternoon.
So when you take people on, like, to the flea market, do you know, what kind of advice do you give them for what to look for? Because if a person hasn't been, particularly in another country, looking for textiles or buttons or fun things.
Well, what I find is that when we get to the flea market on that first day, people kind of watch me, and they see what I'm kind of drawn to. And by the third day, you know, everybody's buying up everything that I thought I was going to buy.
Yes.
So there's definitely a bit of a challenge. But I think, you know, women just in general love, you know, anything that's textural and colorful and that they can take home and make a story with and tell the story of this trip to France that they took. I tell people to kind of pick a color, and on that first day, you know, you're going to want a little bit of everything, but to really kind of focus on one color so that at the end of the day you have a story.
Oh, that's a fantastic
idea. A card
of blue
buttons.
Yeah.
A little, you know, a yard of old blue and white ticking, maybe an old blue book.
Yeah.
But at least then when you get back to the United States and you put them in your home, you have this little story of your time in France.
That is excellent for any trip.
To keep it color-coded.
Yeah, or, you know, I never thought about that, because when you come back, often you've picked up all this collage of stuff that doesn't look good together.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a little trick that somebody, the design director at Ralph Lauren, taught me the first summer we went to France. She came with us, and she was one of our guests. And I watched her, and on that first day, everything she picked up was in pale yellow.
Yeah,
and
I thought,
what a great idea. Yeah. And then she laid it all out on the table that night and said, this is what I bought today. And we thought, that's a story. You know, and she was packing that up to send it back to Ralph Lauren for inspiration.
Right.
So it's a little trick I borrow from her, and
it really works.
Perfect,
yeah. I'm going to start doing that. That's my new trick.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kari. That's my new trick. So you do some, at least I know from seeing your website and watching your blog from the prior events, you do some dyeing of fabrics.
We do a lot of dyeing.
So what kind of dyeing do you like to do?
Well, I got started in the dyeing world about 5 years ago when we were in France with a woman I met that dyes with woad, which is a plant that grows in France. And it grows like a weed, and it looks like a mustard plant. But when you ferment it, you know, dry it, ferment it, and then make a mother vat, it turns a shade of blue.
Yes.
So what happens is you dip your clothes in. When you pull them out of the dye vat, they're yellow. As you walk to the laundry line, they're turning green. And by the time the air really hits it and it oxidizes, they're blue. And woad dyes 14 different shades of blue. So I was completely mesmerized.
Right.
And now I've gotten into indigo and cochineal and fustic wood, and I've really kind of gone down that rabbit hole, because it's really, to me, it's fascinating.
Now, do people dye clothing on your trip?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we tell people at our workshops in Los Angeles and in France, bring anything you want to dye as long as it's a natural fiber.
Okay.
That's so important.
Yeah.
I mean, you can over-dye a color, but most people tend to bring white or natural. But linen, hemp, cotton, wool, silk, mm-hmm. you know, the protein and right. the animal fibers, those are really the ones that just
going to absorb it. And so you also teach this dyeing in your LA.
We do. We do store. Indigo okay. classes. We also do a big woad workshop twice a year with the dye master from France.
Yeah.
And it's become a real big part of our business just yeah. because women love it.
Oh, yeah. And it's so nice because you have all the stuff there.
Yes.
So you don't have to go out and invest in product and, you know, dyes that
exactly.
you're not sure what you're doing.
Exactly. And, exactly. Yeah. And I always tell people, I mean, if you want to start dyeing, start simple. Start in your kitchen with a stainless steel pot with something simple like turmeric. You know, mm-hmm. and hot water, and you'll have amazing yellows,
yeah.
amazing shades of yellow.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest way to start. And then go into your backyard and pick some eucalyptus leaves or
yeah.
the rosemary or the lavender. And every one will give you a shade of color.
Yeah. And how color fast are they? Do you have to do something?
Most dyes do need a mordant.
Okay.
And the simplest mordant you can do is salt water.
Okay.
And you make a big, you know, bucket full of salt water, let your clothes soak in that overnight. Seawater
mm-hmm.
works great also. There are lists and lists of other mordants, but to me that's the easiest
yes,
one.
Yeah.
And then after it's been soaking in the mordant, then you can go ahead and soak it in the dye and they will become color fast. Indigo and woad are two dyes that don't necessarily need a mordant.
Okay.
Which I love
because yeah.
anything
yeah.
then can get dipped
Good.
Into the vat.
Perfect. Now, what is your website so people can find you?
FrenchGeneral.com.
Okay, is it the French General?
It's just French General.
Okay, just FrenchGeneral.com.
Right.
And so you have all kinds of fantastic things there. And
we
they
have
can
kits and fabric and paper. And
do you have a newsletter they can sign up
for? We have a newsletter that goes out 4 times a year.
Okay.
And then we also have a social media site called The Art of Craft. And that is where it's like Facebook, but it's for crafters.
Right,
and so
right.
basically you're interacting with other people that love to work with their hands,
yes.
posting pictures of what they do.
Oh,
and
fabulous.
We list all our workshops on that site.
Great. Well, Kari, this has been awesome to
Thank
have you,
you
on the show.
Thanks,
Thank
Pat.
You.
It's been fun.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back after this break.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chance with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Death Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am here at the International Quilt Market in Portland. And I am talking to Jan Paddock.
Yay!
Jan is Jan, you are an inspiration to me.
Oh, well, thank you.
When I started to applique, my local store did your look, and she carried all your things, and I was just learning to applique, and I was so excited to be able to find the kind of shapes that you use, and really I just love the simplicity and how you use the fabric to tell the story. So I am so excited to be able to talk to you on the radio. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit, how did you start your quilting as a designer? When did you decide that that's what you wanted to do?
Well, basically what happened was we live an hour from Kansas City, and my husband still commutes to Kansas City every day to work, and I did the first 9 years after the kids were born. We moved up to our farm in Cameron when my daughter was 6 weeks old, and for the first 9 years I drove back and forth every day.
Oh, wow.
When they were nine, it was kind of like, if you're going to be in Girl Scouts and you're going to be in Cub Scouts and you're going to do all the things kids do after school, mom can't leave at 7 o'clock in the morning and get home at 7 o'clock at night. So we talked it over and decided that we would try it with me being a stay-at-home mom on just my husband's income.
Mm-hmm.
And I was afraid I'd be bored because since I was 16, I had either worked or gone to school.
Yeah.
So I decided I wanted to learn to make a quilt and learn to paint. I wanted some Christmas china, to paint some Christmas china.
Okay.
And we had a quilt shop, and she had a quilt as you go. So I'm really showing my age here. Quilt as you go class going, and I took it. And I'll tell you what, I finally gave up and bought my Christmas china because I never left quilting. We did that quilt as you go, and then basically then I found art quilting, and I've been in Quilt National and was doing mainly art quilting at that time, but my daughter wanted a Christmas quilt.
Mm-hmm.
So I took some designs by Linda Brannick and Jerry Kimmel and put it together with some traditional designs, and then stuck in stuff from the farm, dogs and horses and sheep and houses and all that good stuff, and blended it all together and took it down to the quilt shop and showed Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, Linda and I are getting ready to publish patterns. Do you want to go in with this? And I had to redo that quilt because it had some copyrighted designs in it that they had published before with another publisher.
Mm-hmm.
So I redid it using the same concept, and that was Snowbound. And
classic.
Yeah, that kind of launched me.
Yeah, and that is like an Irish chain type quilt.
No,
that was not the Irish chain.
No,
okay, I'm thinking
that's
of a different one.
The one with...
Yeah.
It's got Christmas scenes, and my husband is always so helpful. It's got the shepherds, and it's got angels
coming down.
And the three kids on the toboggan.
Yes.
And town very, with my sister.
And it's very asymmetrical.
Yes, very, very, very asymmetrical.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I published patterns with them, did books with them for a couple of years, and then decided to go out on my own, and I told my husband, I had an awesome quilt called Coming Home Again, and I said, if we do this, I need to go to market, but I'm kind of nervous about going myself. And he said, well, make the arrangements, and we'll go to Houston together. And so I went down there. First market at Houston. Cheryl Freyberg from Moda came and said, Linda and I had a booth together because she decided she'd go too. And would you all design fabric for us? Because living where we do, I love antique quilts, but you can't use them.
Yeah.
If you try to use them, they tear.
Yeah.
So what we were doing was over dyeing fabric we bought to get that aged look.
Right.
And they said, would you design fabric that has this look?
Fabulous.
You know, for us.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, since we live in the Midwest, is at that time we did a whole lot of homespuns. And our classic line, our basic line is now homespuns. And the idea was you use the homespuns, and then the women would have just a bit of calico or prints mm-hmm. that was real precious that they saved. Well, now I use a lot more prints
yeah.
than I use calicos than homespuns. But I like the mixture.
Right, right. But I do too, and I like the homespuns.
Yeah.
And they kind of ebb and flow with, you know, when how often people use them. But
right.
Yeah, I started out with a lot of them as...
Well, and I like the geometric of the homespun, the plaids, mm-hmm. the stripes, you know, because mm-hmm. if they're woven, they can only go two
yeah.
ways,
right.
you know.
Right.
You whereas the prints then can go all over. And if you use all flowers, it gets boring.
Yeah.
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 It's all
flowering.
Because
yeah.
it's all round. you know. So you need some.
Mix it up.
Non-round. So.
When you start to design a quilt, what sort of process? Do you sketch it? Do you have, like, does it just sort of come in your head? What happens for you?
Okay, two ways. If I see something that sparks an idea, then it will go from then. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, the fabric itself, that's why I always want to see my strike-offs, mm-hmm. because the fabric itself, the new one, Eagles and Roses, which is green and red and tan, and usually I don't do just three-color quilts, mm-hmm. but the greens and reds in the Crossroads line mm-hmm. sparked the idea for the green and red for the whole quilt. Mm-hmm. So that's one way I do it, and then basically... I've noticed that as I design a quilt, it's about my life. It's mm-hmm. almost always about my life. Mm-hmm. I'll go, why did I do that? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yes, this is going on. You know, so it's gardens and kids, and there's a lot more kids back in the quilts
yeah.
now because I'm grandkids.
Yeah, right.
For a while, they were out of there, and we were just flowers and
yeah.
quilts and baskets. But so they tend to be about my life, and mm-hmm. my dad was in the military. Career military, and my husband's father was, so Eagles and military, I mean, more Americana stuff
yeah, more
is
Americana.
Real important in there as well as the country.
And then you have patchwork intermixed with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I like that look too.
Yeah.
So a little bit of patchwork, nice.
Well, once again, it's the round versus
the geometric.
Geometric.
Yeah.
I like the tension between the two. I mm-hmm. think it's boring if it's all one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody once said, you know, you're very asymmetrical. Things don't line up very often. I have been trying to get my life to line up for 69 years, and it hasn't done it yet. you know, so that's not the kind of quilts I do. Yeah.
Tell me about Crossroads, which is the one that will be arriving in stores very soon here
right.
in the early fall 2013.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about the fabric line.
Well, it has some really good greens and reds.
Yes, yeah, okay.
and
you got an eagle quilt. So
and
that's...
then it's got some really good blues that I mixed with the blues in the homespuns.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I did two block of the months this time, and usually I only do one.
Mm-hmm.
But since I've started doing patterns, a big quilt doesn't really show real well on the front of a pattern.
Right.
But if you condense it and make it a block of the month, then people can see the individual blocks,
blocks.
And
right.
it works a lot better.
Yeah.
And so I did a traditional one because I wanted to do the Eagles and Roses,
mm-hmm.
and then I've always got to do a folk art one, so I did mm-hmm. Snow Day, which is about the grandkids coming to the country when their parents are working and
yeah.
they have a snow day. you know, so
and they arrive at grandma's house, huh?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Quite often. Yeah.
Mom! Yeah. So you live in the country, and you blog about that a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, so do you have fun with your blog?
Yes, I really enjoy it. Barb from me and my sister and
yeah.
I were just, I hope it was Barb, it might have been Mary.
Mary?
I never keep it straight. I know their faces, but
right.
hooking the name
yeah,
up with
I think
my
it was
one.
Barb.
yeah, I think it was Barb. We were just talking about that. I started doing a website back before it was e-commerce
mm-hmm.
because... Since I'm a niche market in
yeah.
the quilting world, it was a way to show the general public what I was doing.
Right.
Because then they could try to find the stuff if their local quilt shop didn't
Right.
Cover it.
Right.
And I always had Jan's notes that I posted at that time once a month. Mm-hmm. Now on the blog I post once a week. I try to.
Right.
But it, like, if I'm getting ready for market and the dog gets hit by a car and the plumbing, then it's two or 3 weeks. I try to once. And it's...
Because I love when you show around your home, too. Besides what you're working on, you'll show your gardens in the spring and the summer. It's gorgeous. And
It really is pretty out there. As we get older, it's harder and harder to take care of all that because we can't do it ourselves, but...
Now, what is your website name? Tell everybody your website.
It's janpaddockquilts.com.
Okay, janpaddock.
Or Jan Paddock Blogspot, I think. Either one. They're, my website and my blog are interrelated.
Yeah, yeah. So
I
they can just have separate pretty ones. Much search your name. And
P-A-T-E-K, not P-A-D-D-O-C-K. Another way to spell it.
Yeah, this is so fun. You came out with 6 patterns to go with Crossroads, and that's going to be available in stores.
Right. Or if you can't find them in your local store, you can get them from our website. But we do need to support our local quilt shops.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm a last resort in case you
can't find it, because not everybody has it available.
No. Yeah.
So. Well, Jan, this has been wonderful.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
I think you do such an awesome service to the quilting industry.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, really.
Thank you.
So nice.
Well, this has been American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We're going to come back after this break and talk to designers from Basic Gray.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I am here with Shara Meredith from Basic Gray. Now, you guys really love Basic Gray. I know you've probably seen the papers. You know the Moda fabrics. So, Shara, thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is exciting because you and I are actually sharing a space here at the trade show. Yeah, this is fun. So we're getting to know
neighbors.
We're neighbors, getting to know each other. Now, I don't do a lot of paper, a lot of scrapbooking, but the Basic Gray papers always were very, very attractive to me, you know. And so when you started with fabric, I was like, yes, you know, because already I had known the look. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the company, because you are the marketing director. So what is Basic Gray?
Basic Gray is a source design company. So we kind of have our hands on a little bit of everything. Scrapbooking is definitely the most popular. But we also have baby swaddles, we have a lot of home decor items, and a lot of things in the works that are coming down the pipeline, too.
Okay. All right. So you have designers who do certain product lines or, you know, so...
We do. We have about 20 people that work in our office and in all different functions and different divisions.
Okay.
And so we have a great variety of designers from, like, that modern, eclectic look to very just homemade, that. So we kind of can get a feel for everyone's taste.
Yeah. I really like the feel of your work because it does that blending, you know, a bit of vintagey, but fresh and, and, it's, do you find that you stay sort of in one style because you do have multiple designers, or do you have like certain, do some looks are entirely different?
It's definitely hard finding that balance. And I feel like the distressing and the layering that we do is kind of what pulls it all into that basic gray brand.
Right.
So we can have a super fun kid line and then like a floral, very just traditional line, but it all feels the same because of how we finish the product.
Right, right. Yeah, it's that layering. It looks like you've done all the work for
us. The inking and that inking kind of look.
Do your designers work on with paints, or are they more computerized?
They do mostly computer, but for some of our new lines, we're actually bringing some watercolors into it. So they actually do have like a little paint station they just set up to kind of get some ideas from there. So
yeah, so sort of work through the sketches and see how it's going to look on. Cool, because I know some people paint all of their work and then get
and then
it into digital.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat, neat, neat. So what is, maybe you brought a designer along with you to the show. Can you just tell us a little bit about her and, you know, what she does?
Yeah, she hasn't done any of our quilts yet. She's just a cute friend of mine that we've known. Yeah. And she's really, she's going to be doing some of our quilts for Little Black Dress 2, which is coming up.
Ah.
So she's coming to get inspired, see what's hot, what's trending, what we can do different, what we can make better.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah, so that's a big part of it because you have the fabric and then you need to showcase it.
Yes. And that can be difficult.
Yeah.
Coming up with new ideas that no one else has done.
Yeah. And you are a very good style team, you know, so like
So sweet.
Yeah. Well, I have to tell everybody, they help me style my little space because I'm like, okay, I need some help.
It's a team.
It's a team. But you brought in, you know, for the trade show here, you sent a whole box full of items so that your booth is always looks like you just ever just draws people in.
I think it's those little extras, like the little vintage books or little old spools and spindles. It just kind of pull everything together and just kind of create it cohesive and have that feel.
Well, tell us a little bit about the fabric line called Little Black Dress, because it is a huge success. People just loved it. I mean, here yesterday, people were asking me, are they going to do more? And we just had a hint. Yes, there's another one coming.
Yes, there is another one coming. Little Black Dress came out last spring, and it was one of the biggest sellers Moda's ever had. And it's just very timeless. Blacks, whites, grays, just those soft peaches. So it was very, very versatile and could be used with so many different things.
What did the actual patterns look like on it?
There were florals and polka dots and stripes. It was very much, we kind of got inspired off, it was a wedding line. Little Black Dress was a wedding paper line. So it's very much that formal kind of feel.
And then what kind of projects did you make out of it? I'm sure that that helped get people really excited.
We had a couple amazing quilts done by Jaybird Designs that were really, really popular. We also have, we have an apron in our booth this time, which was initially made with Little Black Dress.
Ah.
It was very popular, and we are definitely going to have it in a pattern for the fall, for fall market,
because the
everyone's
apron?
Requested it.
Yeah, it's cute. The apron has like a little ruffle, and then it has a little asymmetrical lower ruffle for the skirt
the
part.
Yes, very flattering and kind of like a little tuxedo type looking top.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. And you have a Humpty Dumpty. Is that one of your patterns?
No, it's not. Our owner's cute aunt made that for us.
Oh.
This one just is something that's on a shelf. So with Little Black Dress, we also came out with these cute penguin families.
Oh, I remember the penguins.
That were so popular, and we turned those into a pattern, which we do have. And we're like, we need to have a cute little animal or critter or something.
Yeah.
I don't know where Humpty Dumpty came from. She may, it may have been right around Easter when she was making it, so maybe the whole egg thing was in her head. But I'm not sure where it came from. But it sure is cute.
Now, you use a lot of sort of maps, or it looks like maps and sort of almost like architectural details in the fabric lines. How does that come about? I mean, does somebody sketch like a map and then overlay it?
Yeah. So Rachel, who is the owner, as well as she oversees all the art direction too. She loves vintage books, anything old, and she literally will scan stuff in or find images online and recreate them and alter them. And then they just kind of get converted, and we increase the pattern sizes or scale them down to make it work on the fabric.
So when you get a collection sort of together, is there like a design team then that says, okay, this is what we're going to present? Do you sort of go through sort of a process of elimination?
Yeah, so we typically, Rachel and I, kind of collaborate together, and we pick our favorite parts from the scrapbook collection to send into Moda.
Yeah.
And then we work really closely with Moda to kind of nail it down, like, this one it convert well to fabric, this one it, because you have to repeat it so many times. It's
right.
Not just a 12 by 12 square.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Some patterns just don't work, which would be super cute. They just don't work.
Right.
So it's really just, we kind of just go through the processes and figure out a way to make it all come together.
Now, also from Basic Gray is the Grunge line.
Yes, and, my favorite.
It's a basics.
Uh-huh.
And how do you know how many colors it's in right now?
Oh,
it probably changes often.
I don't even know. I know we came out with 3 new ones for this show.
Oh, okay.
To add to our line.
Yeah.
I would say there's like 20 plus
between 20 and 30 different
kind
colors.
Kind of every color you can think of.
Yeah, yeah. So describe that piece of fabric, Grunge, for the people who haven't found it yet.
Yeah. So the Grunge is really just a solid. So for instance, like this show, we came out with a new aqua. But it has like somewhat, it's almost like you've distressed paper. So it kind of has that inking feel to it. We'll add like some layers of, there's some whites or is anything else to kind of pull in. But it's really such a basic fabric that you can use with any collection out there and make it just like one of your necessities.
Right. So it becomes more like, it's a more of a tonal.
Yes.
So it's a blender, however people like to think of those items.
It's great
so if you
for
don't,
backgrounds.
Yeah. So if you don't want a solid.
Yes.
You can use a Grunge, which gives you that little bit of difference of, you know, shading.
Yeah, just has a little bit of pattern, a little bit extra than just like a plain white piece of material.
And you have that in your paper lines.
We do.
Yeah, because,
you always need that solid to be like your base and your grounding point in paper. And I feel like that's kind of the same way with, you need something so it's not so busy on your patterns. You have something to like pull you all in and keep you. Be able to focus your eye.
Right, right. Place to rest so that it's not, because when you have use a lot of patterned fabric, it you want to be able to see them. You don't want to blend one right into the other.
Yep.
Yeah, so and you did with your, what's the name of the one that you're showing here?
It is Sweet Serenade.
And that has tons of colors and
So there are 34 different SKUs and it's the like a darker aqua and then a more of a rusty orange. And it has creams and blacks mixed into it.
Yesterday, I don't know if I told you this yet, but there was a shop from England and from Scotland. Like there were three people they came by, and they were looking at your line, and the lighter aqua. They said that is like hot. In England,
really?
Yeah, so they liked it. Yeah.
Let's hope it sells well.
They were like, oh, we like this shade. It's just,
And you have aquas in your line. Like, aqua is just such a super popular color in any shade of that color spectrum of aqua.
Right, and mine are the little brighter, a little clearer.
Poppier colors.
Yeah, peppy. So when you do patterns, are they available for downloads? Are they available on your website? How does that work?
Yeah, we have them for both. So when the fabric actually gets shipped, our patterns will be available through Moda, and then they're available on our website.
Okay.
And you can either buy the book, or we also have PDF downloads.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of makes the best. If some people want to keep that book and have it in their collection and their library, and some people want to just download it and have instant gratification.
Right. Plus, if you are international, it's so
the
much
shipping,
easier.
Yeah.
And your website, what's, tell everybody your website.
It's basic, just www.basicgray.com.
Yeah. And what goes on there? I mean, you have, because you have multiple products, what will they find there? If they're just a quilter, how will they sort of navigate it?
There's the different divisions. So you just click on scrapbook, fabric, baby, at home, whatever one you're looking for. And then it's just, everything's just kind of laid out right there.
Oh, okay. Good. So it's really easy to just find the quilting section.
Yes.
And you have a blog that does a mixed media kind of thing, all of your stuff.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely more scrapbook central, but we do have, we try and put fabric projects up every couple of weeks too.
And, they, Base Gray, you all participate in all the hops that Moda does.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we're doing one in September. So you'll have a block.
We will.
Yes. It'll be fun.
And we are going to be the overachievers at this block hop.
Oh, yeah. I know. We experienced that already when we had the little presentation, all the designers did. Some of them already made quilts. And we were like, I was like, okay, overachievers.
Yeah.
Yes.
At least we're in the same boat. So.
That's right. Well, Shar, this has been really fun.
Yes, thank you.
It's really neat to hear how each business is different, and your look is just fabulous.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I am your host, Pat Sloan. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back with another guest from International Quilt Market in Portland, 2013.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm still here at International Quilt Festival in Portland, Oregon. This is the 2013 Spring Show, and what's fabulous about being at the show is a lot of designers come in from far away. You know, this is sort of the big event. They come and talk to their distributors, their publishers, and whatever. So I have got Carolyn Forster from England, and she's made the big trip over here with multiple time zones. So Carolyn, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm good at this time of the day. A bit later on when it's actually bedtime at night and mid-afternoon here, I fail a bit, but I'm getting used to it now. In time to go home.
Right, exactly. Just in time to go home. Right, yeah. You get all your time zones corrected. Now, tell me, how did you, we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, a few years.
And so how did you get into quilting? You know, what made you make your first quilt?
Basically, it was when I was a kid. I always stitched, I always sewed, I always made and glued and stuff
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, endless making and gluing and toilet roll creatures and stuff. And then I got into stitching. I'd do embroidery and hard hanger and cross stitch all that sort of thing. And then basically, it was just a natural thing. My mum always made our clothes when we were kids, and so we had a scrap bag. And so, you know, patchwork just came naturally from that, and it was just something that I really enjoyed doing. I liked using scraps. I liked the fabrics. And then I went to college. I did textile design.
Did you?
I did, but I wasn't that quick off the mark, because I could have obviously done patchwork at college. But I didn't. I majored in weave.
Okay.
And constructed textiles, and really just always just kept sewing, and then just gradually it evolved, and in the end it turned out to be my job. I worked for a patchwork and quilting store in the UK, and I taught there, and then the teaching gradually got bigger and bigger, and then I started to write, and I wrote a book, and it all sort of
just flowed right along.
Yeah.
So the fabric has really been in your life forever.
Yeah, you know, very working. Much so. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I do a talk sometimes, the quilts that I show, one of them is the first quilt I ever made.
Oh, how fun.
And then one of them's the second quilt I ever made. And that's got fabrics in that I know we had shirts and blouses and a skirt in. Oh. So it's a real fun sort of memory.
Yeah,
thing with
memory
that.
Thing. Wow. What part of England do you live in?
I'm from the southeast, just about 35 miles southeast of London, in a town called Tunbridge Wells. It's quite an old town. It's like a spa town. And that's in Kent. So it's sort of midway between London and the coast, actually. So it's a really nice position to be in. So
wow.
Lovely.
Are there a lot of quilt shops and quilters in your
We're
area?
fairly lucky, yeah. There are a few. My closest is just sort of up the road from it. It's about 14 miles away.
Oh, that's not
and
bad.
I think sort of given your distances in the sort of over here in the US, it's like on my doorstep.
Yeah.
So, and we've got a good fabric store actually in our town, and they've got a big sewing machine side, so I'm always in there with sewing machines.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we're lucky there are quite a few sort of within easy distance. That's good.
And do you belong to a guild also? Do you have that kind of format in England?
Not quite clubs? The same format. The actual guild is the Quilters Guild of the British Isles, and it's actually set up as a charitable organisation.
Oh, sounds fancy.
It's to preserve and educate the heritage of quilts. So it's great because it's preserving the heritage and it has educational programs. But it's a country, nationwide thing. And so we're all in regions, and I'm in region two.
Yeah.
All the quilting groups, you don't have to belong to the guild, and they're not called guilds, they're just patchwork groups.
Yeah, like sewing friendship groups.
That
kind
sort of thing, yeah, and they have different programs. There's a big group in Kent called Oast Quilters, which is like a blanket organisation, and they have like monthly meetings and bring in speakers, but most of the girls who go to that also go to other satellite groups.
Yeah,
there's lots going on.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. So let's talk about your books. You've written several books, and tell me who they're with.
I've written three books. Mm-hmm. The first one I self-published, and then was lucky enough that Landauer in the US picked it up and have since reprinted.
Oh, fabulous.
So we're really pleased about that, and that's a great partnership. My second book was with Landauer as well, the utility quilting. And then in last year in the UK, a UK publisher, Search Press, asked for a book, and we did Jelly Roll Quilts and Gifts with them. And that's been really fun.
How neat. I'm really fascinated about the utility quilting. What is the title of that book?
It's Utility Quilting, and then underneath the whole subtitle, it's Simple Ways to Hand Quilt, basically. It's sort of taking the mystification out of hand quilting. It's not tiny stitches, intricate designs. It's going really sort of way back and looking at... It's like sort of Depression era type quilting and before that when women basically needed to get the quilts quilted quick. So the designs were easy, big and expansive. Stitches were big and easy and expansive using thicker threads, bigger needles. You know, you've still got the joy of the quilting, but you've just got a faster pace to it. And it's really appealed the fact that you can still enjoy your hand quilting. And a lot of the modern girls coming into the quilting are using it and are combined with their machine quilting, you know. Yeah, so it's great to sort of...
It's kind of an accent, too. It adds a little bit more depth. Now, do you actually... We'll sort of go back to, like, the sort of step, a couple of steps that involve...
Okay, yeah.
Do you use a hoop when you do utility?
On my big quilts, what I call big quilts, like traditionally put together as a whole piece, then I will use a hoop. I just use a 14-inch round hoop to keep it just flat. The work's quite loose in it, but you can sort of
It's not like a drum. It's not really tight.
Oh, no, it flaps up and down, so you need to be able to get your needle up and down. But if I'm doing the quilting on the go, because you're only ever quilting something that's about 18 inches square, I actually just do that in my hand. It's never in a hoop, so sort of pretty versatile.
Yeah, I like to. Now, when you baste it, will you do big hand basting or pins?
I have time, I really like hand basting. And I know people will be going, oh, my goodness, what planet is she from? I do really like hand basting. I find if I hand baste, it usually gives me time to think about the patchwork because you're actually looking at it. And it just gives you that pause between the making and the quilting.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't always have the time. And my other favourite methods is... For the utility, I quite like I like safety pinning.
Yeah, yeah.
With the sort of quick clip or a teaspoon
the little tool. Yeah.
And if I, for the, I've completely lost the flow there. Jet lag setting in.
Yes.
when I'm doing the quilt as you go, I actually spray base with the 505.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because it's small, it's not going to pull up because you're not dragging a whole big thing
around. Absolutely. It works really well.
Perfect, perfect. Let's talk about thread, because you talked about how you like to use a little bit chunkier thread.
Yeah.
What kind of thread do you like to work with?
I like using the cotton pearl threads. I like the Valdani because they're soft and they've got soft colours and they're graduated in the colouring, which gives the work some more interest, right, apart from just a straight thread or a straight color of thread. Usually I'll use, some of the girls I know use a size 8 thread, so it's okay, sort of a bit chunkier, but I go with a size 12 because you've got the, you know, you've got the boldness of the thread, but it's not too in your face. But, you know, it's personal in the end. I mean, if at the end of the day they were sewing quilts together with the thread that held the flour sacks together, yeah, then, you know, what does it matter about what size thread? I think as long as you're, you know, happy with the results, you just go with what you're comfortable with.
Now, how do you like to match color? Because are you match? Do you like it to be very close to the background color, or the fabric that you're on, or do you prefer really high contrast? Which way do you go?
Oh, I'm going to be on the yeah, fence. Actually, it's going to be really useful for people. It depends entirely on the project. Some projects you look at them and you just know you want everything to be bold. You want the stitches to stand out. You want it to make a real statement. Mm-hmm. And yet other times I know I just want the quilting to act as a texture and not get in the way of the patchwork.
Yeah.
So for something like that, and if I'm quilting with Amish waves or Mennonite fan or elbow quilting, you know, yeah, all the same thing, then I just want the texture. So I'll use a thread that match, sort of really merges, just acts like a shadow.
That's neat. I'm interested in, like, the rocking part of it because, you know, how do you approach that, especially with a thicker thread because you have a thicker needle?
Absolutely. It's getting the right thread and the right needle. It's basically, if you look at your needle, and if the shaft of the needle is fatter than the thread doubled through it, you'll be fine, because everything will just follow through. Whereas if you find you've threaded your needle, but you're having to tug your thread, it's because the shaft of your needle's too narrow. So you want to make sure, and it sounds scary, so I big stitch quilt with a between size 5.
Oh, wow.
Whereas when I fine hand quilt, it'll be a size 10. So, you know, real big contrast. But I find it's the ease of pulling the thread through, and it just depends on the thickness of the shaft of the needle.
So, like, a good tip would be if you're pulling, which is not very fun.
Yeah, you shouldn't be tugging. You need to stop and think, get a bigger needle, get a fatter needle. Don't be frightened of fat needles. So, and just go with that, because it should be easy.
That's an excellent tip, because I think people don't know why they're tugging. They think it's the thread.
Yeah, or the wadding or the fabric. Right. But it isn't. It's the fact that the hole, it's like Winnie the Pooh getting stuck. Are you familiar with that? Probably not. I don't know.
Yes, we all know Winnie the Pooh.
Good. When he gets stuck in the hole, you know, if you're too fat for the hole, you're not going to get through, are you? So you just take a pause, get a bigger needle, and keep going, and you'll be a lot easier.
Now, Carolyn, you have a website and a blog. Mm-hmm, tell me what all that is.
I have a website. I'm not very creative naming-wise, so we call the website carolynfoster.co.uk.
There you go.
So it said what it was. And I have a blog. The blog's called Quilting on the Go, and you can get to that through the website. And basically, I'm probably not the best blogger. Some of the bloggers, like, hey, you know, it's like so regular. And I probably blog probably about a couple of times a week. And it's good, but I started it up because basically with the teaching, I'd see students for courses and classes, and then I'd see them perhaps in a few months' time, or I'd see them at a show, and they'd always say, what are you making? What are you working on now? And after you keep saying the same thing, I thought, well, if I have a blog, I can just put in and out what I'm working on, what's happening, and then people have got a point of contact for me. Yeah. So the blog is very much to do with the students and the teaching and the patchwork and ideas and things.
Excellent. Well, Carolyn, this has been fabulous. Thank you for being here.
That's great to have the time to catch up and chat, Pat. Thanks.
Thanks. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and this whole entire show has been from International Quilt Market. So come back next week. We'll have a whole new show. And visit us online at allpeoplequilt.com and visit me at patsloan.com. Bye-bye.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.